visitors to the Vatican Necropolis to describe their experience and the tour they've taken. The idea of conducting a simple survey like that amongst visitors is just one of the initiatives taken by the general manager of the Fabrica, or the Fabrique of St. Peter's Basilica, to improve the quality of tours to the shrine and to the ancient necropolis beneath it. Well, in this, part two of a four-part series of conversations with Cristina Carlostella, general manager of the office that takes care of the maintenance and the tours of the basilica, we focus on efforts to make the Vatican experience an unforgettable and enriching one for all.
With the Vatican Necropolis, for example, I wanted to meet the guides because, as you know, the Vatican Necropolis, you can only go and visit the Vatican Necropolis through guided visits.
And one and a very limited number of people are allowed to go in at one time.
Exactly. We just allow groups of about 10 to 15 at a time. Reason being, of course, is for preservation. And also because we know very much that during the summer months, because of the hot temperatures here in Rome, if you go in underground spaces, of course, with like just any other archaeological excavations, you might feel a little bit of difference between the temperature and the humidity level. And so we did have some complaints with some visitors that they felt there wasn't enough air, they couldn't breathe right or whatever. So we want to be sure that these visits are as pleasant as possible. But going back to what I wanted to say is that I wanted to meet with the guides at least twice a year because we want them to not only explain the importance of the archaeological aspects or the archaeological history of the environment, but also in a very discreet way, make them understand that this is a very, very special place because it's not only a Roman burial area, but there are Christian burials, and this is all leading to the most sacred perno, the most sacred point of the entire site, which is, again, the tomb of Peter. So we are working as much as we can to relay this message of the spirituality and just to make people conscious. And this leads me to another initiative that I've made. This is still in 2004, as soon as I came over. I wanted to run a survey of the visitors in the Vatican Necropolis. I think this is probably one of the very few times that here in the Vatican they've done that. I have to say that because I was congratulated by the director of the Vatican Museums because I don't think they've done this. I wanted to make a survey of what people got out of their visit in the Vatican Necropolis to see if we could improve it and what they perceived. And also to get an idea on our end of what kind of public we had in our hands. And one of the results of that survey really surprised us. For example, a very, very slight minority of these visitors actually prepare themselves before they come. Basically, a very limited percentage read something about the Vatican Necropolis before they came. So, you know, this is useful for because it makes us understand, especially for the guides that lead these people down to the Vatican Necropolis, the kind of, you know, information level or cultural level of these visitors. And one of the other results was, again, this environmental kind of changes that they perceived as they were going underground. Again, this is not, you know, it is something that usually accompanies a visit of an archaeological site, an underground archaeological site, you do feel a difference in temperature and humidity. So what I wanted to do was, this is another thing that I really insisted upon, was to establish a monitoring system 24 hours a day down in the Vatican Necropolis for temperature and humidity control. That system had already been experimented, but I found out in 2005 to 2006 that it could have been further improved. And so we have placed some humidifiers within that area so that the humidity level is high enough to maintain the preservation conditions that we need, but at the same time does not create disagio.
Okay, discomfort.
Discomfort to the visitors.
What sort of relationship do you have or don't you have with the Vatican Museums? I mean, you sound like you share so many interests, expertise, and problems that you would have some sort of interaction with them.
No, I'm afraid. We're very good neighbors. As you know, the Vatican, here in the Vatican City-State, which is a very small state, it's a very small territory, we're all very good neighbors, but we do have different administrations, so we are not really connected to the Vatican Museum. The Vatican Museums are under the Governatorato, whereas the Fabbrica di San Pietro has its own autonomous administration.
What happens then if a mosaic or a painting or a piece of marble inside the basilica needs restoration?
It's up to the Fabbrica, basically. It's up to the Fabbrica.
You don't go to the restoration labs at the museums?
No, we don't. We do appeal to them if they have some expertise and they're ready to give us a hand in consultation. But there are areas of the basilica that are shared in terms of maintenance and restoration. Other areas are completely given over to the Fabbrica. So there are, for example, areas around the narthex or, for example, in the maintenance level of the basilica where we need work power from the Governatorato. But otherwise, it's up to us. It's up to us to actually upkeep it and to solve the problems in restoration. For example, the mosaic restorations of the pendentives over the transept is being done. That whole restoration project is being carried out by our own mosaic
laboratory,
yes.
And for the marble flooring and all that sort of thing and paintings and marble work, woodwork, whatever, would you have to go then outside if the museum is too full up with other projects that it can't cope with external projects? What do you do then?
Well, in the past, you did have other, companies or coming in, people from outside coming in and taking care of these problems. But since Cardinal Marchisano's period, when he was here as Archpriest of the Basilica, he initiated, I think very wisely, a different policy. We do have workers who are the San Pietrini, who are all also very specialized in certain areas. So we found that it was cheaper for us, more economical, for us to use their talents, to use the talents of our own San Pietrini. And so we do have teams, for example, for electricians. We have a special laboratory for marble. We have a carpentry activity. We have a group that are electricians. So we use our own work power, our interior work power, to solve these emergencies or these problems. And again, this, on an economic level, an administrative level, this is really something that has brought a lot of fruit, a lot of productive results.
You are in charge, I would imagine, of the exposition space of the Carlo Magno, the wing on the side of St. Peter's. Is that right?
Braccio Carlomagno is actually an area that is being managed under the auspices of the Governatorato and the Vatican Museums. We just rented that space. We actually rented the space for the Pietro Segni exhibit on the Basilica, but it is really run. It is a space that is run between the Governatorato, but an area of that space is also used and managed by the Pontificio Consiglio delle Comunicazioni Sociali, of social communications, because they use that space for some of the journalists who actually have a live broadcasting of some of the ceremonies in St. Peter's Square. But we did use it once, and now we might have further developments of how the Fabric can cooperate or collaborate in the future for that particular wing, but it is not under our own direct management. Unfortunately, this is something that is, let us say, a setback in our work. We don't have a lot of spaces. We, as you see, the headquarters of the Fabric of St. Peter is actually this bottom floor of the Palazzo della Canonica building. That is the floor underneath the sacristy of St. Peter's. And this is where our offices are, but we don't really have a nice auditorium where we could actually have conferences or conventions. We don't have a real museum space or exhibit space, so we have to sort of appeal to other environments here in the Vatican Museum that has quite a number of auditoriums, or Sala Paolo VI, Sala Nervi, if we want to have a major event, or Braccio Carlomagno, which we have to rent from the Governatorato. So unfortunately, we don't really have a lot of spaces, and that is really a setback.
Well, setback or not, the San Pietrini workmen of St. Peter's Basilica certainly have their hands full caring for perhaps the largest Christian church ever built, covering an area of 2.3 hectares and offering a capacity for more than 60,000 people. Well, thanks then to Cristina Carlo Stella, General Manager of the Fabrica of St. Peter's. That's the Vatican office responsible for the maintenance and care of the Basilica and its foundations.